Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Cyber and AI Bytes episode, part of the Burgess Salmon Pensions Pod. I'm Samantha Howell, a director and one of the cyber governance lead in Burgess Salmon's Pensions and Lifetime Savings team. I'm pleased to be joined today by Andy Prater, who's another director in our team. Andy has substantial experience in all areas of pensions law, advising both pension scheme trustees and employers across a broad range of pensions issues. Andy's also the pensions dashboard lead in our team. And today, Andy and I will be talking about the cyber risk perspective of the Pensions Dashboards programme. Andy, thanks so much for joining me today to talk about pensions dashboards through a cyber lens.
Thanks, Sam. I'm very happy to be here today. This is a great opportunity to flag some of the cyber risks associated with the dashboards programme and to consider what can be done to mitigate them.
Great. So to kick off this episode, could you remind our listeners what the pensions dashboard programme is?
Yes, the pensions dashboards programme is part of the Money and Pensions Service. The initiative aims to provide people with access to information about their UK pensions, which are not yet in payment, all in one place, for free, online, via a dashboard. The intention behind the programme is to increase awareness and understanding, which will hopefully support people with better planning for retirement. Dashboards will also reunite savers with lost or forgotten pensions. The Department for Work and Pensions has set out a staged timetable for schemes to connect to the pensions dashboards ecosystem. All schemes in scope must be connected by the 31st of October 2026 at the latest. And as you can imagine, there are lots of things for schemes to be doing in preparation for their specific connection deadlines.
Yes, of course. And that's coming quite soon now. We're in 2026. Could you briefly summarise how it works in practice from a user perspective?
Yes, in practice, users will submit requests to find their pensions information. So users will first be required to prove their identity using the gov.uk one login service. The Pension Finder service, which is part of the dashboard central digital architecture, then sends user requests to all connected providers and schemes. Providers and schemes match dashboard users to their pensions using find data. Once a user has been matched, the provider or scheme will then return relevant information to display on the dashboard as view data.
Thanks for that. There's lots that trustees will either already have done or will need to do soon then to make sure their scheme's connected to the dashboard in time. I understand you've been working on a tool to help trustees understand what steps need to be taken.
Yes, we've produced a pensions dashboards tool launched in January 2026, which is designed to help trustees understand the legal aspects of pensions dashboards, how dashboards will function, and the duties and obligations that will apply. Listeners can request access via Burgess Salmon's website or by contacting me or their usual Burgess Salmon contact.
That sounds like it should be a really useful tool. We're not going to delve into all of the actions needed to connect to the pensions dashboard in this episode today. Instead, we're just going to focus on dashboards from a cyber risk perspective. So we'll consider some of the data protection and cybersecurity risks that this advancement brings and the steps that could be taken to minimise these risks. So should we start by talking about the biggest cyber or data protection threats from a dashboards perspective? Please, can you outline those?
Yes, of course. So the introduction of pensions dashboards represents a significant step forward in the digitalization of pension scheme data. Three cyber or data protection threats associated with dashboards are the transfer of data and making sure appropriate controls are in place, the potential for dashboard scams, and the risks of relevant providers being subject to a cyber incident.
Thanks for that concise summary. That's really helpful. I completely agree with all of those. And let's look at those risks in turn, starting with the transfer of data.
Yeah, so schemes will need to have systems and processes in place to ensure that any data transferred to meet the dashboard's requirements is done in a secure and compliant way. Schemes may meet their obligations through existing administration providers or by using an integrated service provider, also known as an ISP.
Yes, that's very true. If a scheme's using their existing administrator to connect to the dashboards, then there potentially won't be the same transfer of data, but there will be new processing activity for a different purpose. If a scheme's using an ISP as a new third-party supplier, or if an existing administrator's using an ISP as a sub-processor, which a number of the administrators are doing, then there will be a significant transfer of data, and trustees should be aware of that, and the contract in place with the administrator should be updated, and or a contract put in place with the ISP.
Yes, that's an important point, as trustees are the data controllers of scheme data and are therefore responsible for the security of member data. So it's important to understand what their processors and sub-processors, i.e. administrators and or ISPs, are doing with that data.
Yeah, absolutely. Trustees shouldn't forget that as data controllers, they retain responsibility. So the risk of how data is used sits with the trustees, even if they're not using the data themselves on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, any transfer to an ISP should be considered carefully, as this would be a significant new data processor arrangement. So trustees should be asking robust questions about the ISP's internal controls in relation to data transfer and cyber risk, and for clarity on data protection and cybersecurity provisions in their contract with the ISP before any data is transferred.
Yeah. The second risk then that you mentioned was the potential for dashboard scams.
Yes, I think the trustees should make an effort to inform and educate members as to the potential for scams, as the move to being able to view data through the pensions dashboards ecosystem could present a fresh opportunity for scammers to try to target pension scheme members. Pension schemes and their members have always been vulnerable to scammers because of the significant volumes of data and assets that they have. And whilst the technology is find and view only at this stage, so no ability to make transfers through the dashboard, for example, the fact that of there being there this new environment and ability to view pensions data could nevertheless lead to increased potential for scams.
Yeah, and I think that's a point that can easily be overlooked.
I agree. And whilst we don't know what scams might look like, it's relatively inexpensive and easy for trustees to send communications to remind members about the risk of scams. So this information could be included as part of the routine communication or indeed a specific dashboards communication in the run-up to the ecosystem going live. So I think it's a risk that prudent trustees should be taking efforts to mitigate against.
Yeah, absolutely. The final risk you mentioned was the potential for a dashboard cyber incident, which, if it happened, could be significant given the amount of data involved.
Yes, it's important to stress that the Pensions Finder service is not a database. It doesn't hold any personal or pensions data. Rather, it acts like a switchboard, sending members requests to all connected providers and schemes, which then return a unique identifier to the dashboard for each matching pension. Once the pensions information is requested, the schemes and providers send this directly to the dashboard, where only the requesting member can access it. There's therefore no centralized data target for hackers to look at. The data resides where it does currently and is temporarily displayed but not stored on the dashboard. And to keep pensions dashboards data safe, the governance register will ensure that the pensions dashboards ecosystem meets the required security and performance standards. Trustees should, of course, though, be mindful that administrators and ISPs could be targets for cyber incidents. And if the dashboard ecosystem becomes more sophisticated in the future, the risk of a cyber incident may well increase.
Yeah. And in practice, if a cyber incident did occur, then schemes would need to look at their contracts to determine who would bear the costs of that incident. In reality, many contracts are currently silent on this, and administrators and ISPs are likely to seek to limit their liability for a cyber incident. So trustees should be considering the relevant contractual provisions in this area to understand who would meet the costs of an incident and to consider ways to mitigate any costs, which might be introducing contractual clauses around that or taking out cyber insurance.
Yes, on the topic of mitigation, understanding the contractual position on dashboards compliance and updating provider contracts as required is an important step. Two other aspects we recommend that schemes prioritise are putting a data protection impact assessment in place and updating their privacy notices.
Thanks, Andy. Can you tell the listeners more about what a data protection impact assessment is?
Yes, a data protection impact assessment, or DPIA for short, is a risk assessment process that helps organisations identify and minimise any data and privacy risks where personal data is being processed. DPIAs are required under the UK General Data Protection Regulation for certain types of processing, including, for example, where new technologies are being used and the processing is likely to result in a high risk to people.
And what are the views of the ICO, the Pensions Regulator, and the Pensions Dashboard Programme in relation to DPIAs?
As far as I'm aware, the ICO hasn't set out a position on trustees' duties in respect of pension dashboard obligations. The pensions regulator's initial guidance stated that matching, combining or comparing data from multiple sources requires a DPIA under the UK GDPR. So trustees may need to produce one or may need to update one they already have. The Pensions Dashboard Programme has published its own DPIA, covering the processing of personal data by MAPS to deliver the central digital architecture, the related services and the connection of pension schemes and providers to it. A MAPS provision of the Money Helper Pensions Dashboard will be covered in a separate DPIA. The PDP has stressed that its DPIA doesn't cover the responsibilities of other parties who are connecting to the ecosystem, and suggests that these entities' DPIA should reflect the large-scale processing that they will undertake. So at the very least, it would certainly be best practice for schemes to carry out a data protection impact assessment.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Andy. You also mentioned that schemes should update their privacy notices. Why is that?
Privacy notices should be updated to reflect the potential sharing of member personal data with the dashboard, and potentially also further sharing of information, if any, with their administrator or ISP. As part of this, the notice should detail what personal data is processed, the legal basis for processing, and the third parties with access to the data. Essentially, compliance with dashboard's requirements is a new form of data processing that wouldn't have originally been envisaged when most privacy notices were put in place or last updated.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And are there any other actions that you think trustees could be taking to mitigate the cyber risk of the Pensions Dashboard Programme?
Yes, if they haven't already, then trustees should update their risk registers to identify potential data and cyber risks relating to dashboards, which is an easy win. Schemes should also have an up-to-date data and asset map, as this helps trustees to understand their cyber risk in line with TPR's expectation. Dashboard's compliance may well lead to new data flows, and a scheme's data and asset map should therefore be updated to reflect this.
Yeah, both of those actions make sense. And I would also encourage trustees to take this opportunity to think about their scheme cyber resilience more generally. For any scheme which have not already taken steps or are taking ongoing steps to build their cyber resilience, Pensions Dashboard compliance could be a useful push to start thinking about what steps should be taken in this area. So that wraps up our discussion on pensions dashboards from the cyber perspective. Thanks again to Andy for joining us. The key takeaways for trustees that I took from our discussion in this area are to put in place a DPIA for dashboards if your scheme doesn't already have one, to update your scheme's privacy notice, and to consider any other relevant actions, including your contract with your scheme administrator and/or ISP. That was another episode of Cyber and AI Bytes, part of the Burgess Salmon Pensions Pod. If you'd like to know more about our pensions and lifetime savings team or our cyber specialists throughout the firm and how our experts can work with you, then you can contact myself, Samantha Howell, or any of the team via our website. And as we say every episode, all of our previous episodes are available on Apple, Spotify, our website, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, and thanks for listening.